This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live, we're kicking off the third hour of the program. Bitcoin once again under attack. People claiming that it's dead. Bitcoin has died.
Very much alive.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. You know, I just love pulling these stories out when they happen, because they do happen again and again, and it's fun to always bring up the same old stories. Even though it's new, this is freshly written, it's once again trotting out the same old excuses about why Bitcoin is so bad. They say that it can never be a true currency because it's volatile, and we'll get into it here a little bit further.
Wow. Well, I'd rather have a currency that goes up and down than one that just goes down.
Which is the dollar.
Unless they come up with a blowjob-backed currency, in which case...
Let's not go there. Ian Nobody and Angie in the studio here tonight. The article from Medium.com, Marker.Medium.com, James Surecki. He says he is a columnist. In the past, he was a writer for Slate and The New Yorker. So that should give you some sort of idea.
And his financial creds are impeccable because he's predicted 10,000 of the last zero deaths of Bitcoin.
So he says along the way, he was talking about back in the day when somebody bought Bitcoin, or they used Bitcoin to buy some pizzas back in 2010. It was sort of the first known transaction for a real life item. It was at the time 10,000 bitcoins was what was about $20 worth at the time, and so that's what those pizzas cost. And now he's saying along the way between now and then, something odd happened. Bitcoin completely lost its original reason for being. Bitcoin was, after all, not designed to be a speculative asset. It was designed to be a currency, a new medium of exchange that people could and would use to transact daily business with each other.
Like all the other cryptocurrencies still are.
That's why we call it a cryptocurrency. When Bitcoin was first introduced into the world in 2008 in a white paper, its mysterious creator, who dubbed himself Satoshi Nakamoto, described it as, quote, a purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash, which would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution, unquote. He also billed Bitcoin as, quote, an electronic payment system based on cryptographic proof instead of trust, allowing any two willing parties to transact directly with each other without the need for a trust third party, unquote, like a bank or a credit card company. And that's all true. That's, you know, it's all there in the Bitcoin white paper, which does describe it as electronic cash. And indeed, that's one of your complaints, Nobody, about Bitcoin, the original BTC Bitcoin, is that it's not very useful these days as an electronic cash. So to that point, he's correct.
You've got a big pile of money. To that he's correct. And if he's going to come in and chime in about all the other cryptocurrencies that are doing just fine and have fees that are a fraction of a penny, then I'll take back every nasty thing I said about it.
I expect he's going to completely ignore all of the other cryptocurrencies.
Isn't it funny how the mainstream media always seems to ignore all of the currencies that haven't been sabotaged?
Yeah, right. And the sabotage is an interesting thing about Bitcoin. Like, why did this happen? Well, there's some theories out there about that. Why did Bitcoin, this electronic cash, which for years was very cheap to spend, it was less than a cent in a lot of cases, or at 1 cent, it's worth a Bitcoin to send transactions of up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, it didn't matter what the amount of the transaction was. What Bitcoin was based on as far as the fees were concerned was the size of the transaction, meaning the size in bytes, how much computer data was being transacted. And even with a large transaction in bytes, it was still a very, very small price. But what happened was the Bitcoin network got full of transactions. transactions because it got popular. And they never scaled it up to where it could handle more than, what is it, 3 transactions a second or something
seven.
Like that? Is it 7 a second? Very, very small number of transactions. So,
yeah. That was the thing that made me scoff. I remember when you first told me mm-hmm. about Bitcoin, and I said, how much bandwidth can it handle? And you said, 7 transactions a second. And I, you know, what's that? You know, Visa handles 10,000 times
yeah,
that.
What is it? It's a starting point. It was a starting point.
It was.
And unfortunately, they're frozen.
The amazing thing about a dancing bear isn't how well it dances, it's that it dances
how
at all.
How hard would it be for them to do that?
Not hard at all. They have to change one variable. They have to change the block size from 1 megabyte to 8 or 32 or whatever number.
And they have a good reasoning, I'm assuming?
Well, that's where the conspiracy comes into play. So Bitcoin became popular, and it started to attract the attention of the old money people, like MasterCard and people like that, who are threatened by the existence of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin.
Because we can do their job way better than they can. They have to charge 3% to be profitable, and, you know, Bitcoin Cash can do it at a fraction of a penny.
Right. So what happened, apparently... Now, this is, you know, this is a conspiracy theory, but there's evidence for it, okay? So it's not like the conspiracy part is that they want to take down Bitcoin. The facts are that MasterCard and other big, you know, banker types are investors in something called the Digital Currency Group, or DCG. DCG is an investor in a company called Blockstream. Blockstream started to pay the Bitcoin developers, a lot of them, not all of them, because it's an open source project, so they don't pay them all, but they pay some of the key developers of Bitcoin. And they started doing this, what, like 2016 or somewhere in that range? So at some point, this sort of decentralized project took on a little more of a centralized feel because they started to pay these developers, this Blockstream company, which is funded by people like MasterCard and like big banks like AXA, which is one of the largest European international banks out there. So there's big banker money that's going into the development of Bitcoin now. So if that's not a corrupting influence on Bitcoin, I don't know what is. So is it due to the behest of these big bankers that they're killing, that they're trying to, like, strangle Bitcoin in the cradle, so to speak, here, not allow it to grow, you know, and serve the people that it could be serving? Because right now it's really lagged. It's really slow. The fees are insane, and all they got to do is change that one thing, but they won't do it.
And there's another thing which is really fascinating, which is if you watch the mainstream media, there's only one coin they talk about.
Bitcoin.
They don't talk about the hundreds of coins that can do Bitcoin's job better than Bitcoin does it.
I've seen Ethereum get some mainstream media coverage.
Ethereum is the other exception. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And Ethereum's also loaded up with transactions, and it's very expensive to transact on Ethereum as well. So, so is it true that the big bankers are, you know, wielding their influence to try to strangle Bitcoin? And
maybe they're just stupid, and they think this is the best way to advance it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then how did they get rich?
So, let me go on, though, with this guy's statement. So he's pointing out that Bitcoin isn't electronic cash anymore. And interesting, that's the way it's being marketed by the advocates of Bitcoin now. They don't talk about it as cash. They don't talk about it as currency. They talk about it as a store of value, which is what they call it.
Doesn't make much sense because the value of Bitcoin is in its ability to process transactions.
Indeed.
And so
securely and
how
safely
can you be a store of value without actually being the best in class at doing what you do, or even anywhere near the best in class?
Yeah, it's got an incumbency, so people still, you know, they want it. People are talking about it. That's why it's getting purchased. But it's not particularly useful at all these days.
And the other thing is a lot of the money that's forcing the price of Bitcoin up is coming in because it's the only coin that's attached to the futures market. Now, if you've been involved in, or nearly the only coin, it's the only one I know of which is attached to the futures market. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you've been in precious metal for any time, one of the things that you've learned probably, if you have the, you know, the sense that God gave a walnut, is that the futures market can be very easily manipulated.
Mm.
For example, you can't get physical delivery of silver or gold from the futures market most of the time because that would require them to tether the price to reality, and they don't want to do that.
You had a question, Angie. I don't know if you've got time to...
I didn't know if it was hard to transfer Bitcoin into some other kind of currency.
Not at all.
It depends.
And does it cost you quite a bit to do that?
It depends.
Only to send it.
So we'll continue here in a moment. 603-283-6160 is the number. You can join us on Free Talk Live. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and our main feed that includes everything. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com.
What if the United States and Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BaneBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from Divvy Project. Project.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DiviProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
I'm Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder and director of Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and TrumpsArmy.us. Are you willing to stand with President Trump and the U.S. Armed Forces he commands to help defend the office of the President, the streets of America, and the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Then go to TrumpsArmy.us and allow me to reward you for your patriotism as only I can. TrumpsArmy.us. We are Trump's citizen patriots. TrumpsArmy.us.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
6160. You dial and bring up whatever you want. 603-283-6160. We're talking about another hit piece against Bitcoin. In fact, more than one. Peter Schiff is going to be on the attack as well. You've got that story, Nobody, that you sent to me about calling Bitcoin fool's gold. But first, we continue here. I also want to let you know about an alternative to Bitcoin. It's called Divi. Now, there are thousands of cryptocurrencies out there competing with Bitcoin. Divi, you want to take a look at because, well, first of all, there's pro-freedom people that are behind the creation of it. But secondly, Divi has super easy to create masternodes. I mean, it is strikingly easy. All you got to do is download the Divi full node wallet, and you can set up a masternode as long as you have enough Divi to do that. Now, if you need to acquire Divi, you can do that through multiple exchanges or get it straight from the Divi team. You can get in touch with them directly via their Telegram channel, and now more people have Telegram than ever before. Go to the front page of DiviProject.org, DiviProject.org. Learn more about Divi and get in touch with the Divi team at DiviProject.org. So the guy at
If you are one of those new people on Telegram, feel free to look up the Elect Nobody group that's on Telegram, or if you want to check out Freedom Cells and maybe form a local organization to work for freedom in your area, I suggest searching for that too. There's a lot out on Telegram, but you got to go find it. It won't come jump up in your face.
That's true. So marker.medium.com, James Sarecki saying Bitcoin isn't what it used to be, saying that Bitcoin's dream is dead, and here's why. He says it will never be a true currency, citing the volatility. But going on, he points out that Bitcoin was originally marketed by Satoshi Nakamoto as a peer-to-peer electronic cash, and now it's not as cashy as it once was. He points out that, you don't need to have a third party to deal with a Bitcoin transaction as far as like a bank or a credit card company. And that's exactly what the Bitcoin Pizza Guy was doing on that day in 2010, sending an electronic payment directly from himself to another person without any third party being involved. Now, we're ignoring the miners. Obviously, those are third parties, but they're part of a network and they're not sort of independent. He may have unknowingly made a terrible investment decision, but he was using Bitcoin exactly as it had been designed to be used. And I don't agree that it was an investment decision. It's an important thing to be able to use Bitcoin as money. Bitcoin was supposed
to... This is an investment.
It's an investment keeping you alive, I suppose. But that's what Bitcoin was intended to be used. And if no one ever used Bitcoin to buy anything, then it wouldn't be worth anything.
Yeah, it'd be a store of what value?
It'd be a store of some data, just like any other data. So it's easy to forget now, says the author, but Bitcoin's promise in those early days was that it would be a new currency, one that could challenge the hegemony of so-called fiat currencies like the dollar, which are issued by governments, by being untraceable money, which, of course, Bitcoin was always traceable. It's been public since day one. Mm-hmm. That would allow people to conduct business cheaply and anonymously. Again, not anonymous. Because Bitcoin was designed to have a fixed number of coins, it will have 21 million coins by the year 2140, and then no more. People could use it without worrying about inflation debasing its value. It was kind of a cyberpunk fantasy that enchanted many. And as recently as 2018, Twitter CEO and Square founder Jack Dorsey said, quote, "The world will ultimately have a single currency. I personally believe that it will be Bitcoin," unquote.
Oh, my God. He's an awful economist. Why would the world have a single currency?
Well,
that's silly.
He's a Twitter CEO. I mean, this guy is a centrally controlled kind of guy.
He's a bird brain.
Yeah.
No wonder he's tweeting all the time.
Even today, you can still find pundits who trumpet Bitcoin's revolutionary possibilities and point to things like PayPal's plan to offer its merchants the ability to transact in cryptocurrencies this year as evidence that that radical change is afoot. The more people hoard Bitcoin, treating it as a speculative asset, the less appealing it seems as a currency, he says. And yet the reality is that Bitcoin has never really functioned as a currency. Almost from the beginning, only a small percentage of Bitcoin transactions have actually been for goods and services. And of those, many have been for illicit goods and services, like drugs or online gambling.
And money never gets used for that.
Most Bitcoin transactions, by the way, those transactions are a very, very small portion of Bitcoin.
And it's amazing the things that people think. I saw somebody on Facebook saying, well, Bitcoin isn't a good currency because I saw where it got stolen sometime. And I'm like, yeah, I heard the dollars have been stolen a couple of times, too. It right. must be a bad currency.
Even if you don't include the times the government stole it from you.
Oh, God. And the constant theft of its value.
Right. And by the way, if you're still buying your drugs with Bitcoin, you need to get up with the current times and start checking out Monero and look at the privacy coins because, you know, if you're buying, like, for instance, there was a darknet market recently that went Monero only. Did you hear about that?
The White House market. That's probably going to be common. And
but it was the first
time.
I like
the White House market.
It hadn't happened yet. No one, up until the end of 2020, no darknet market was Monero only. And finally, the White House market made the flip. They said, you know what, we're turning off Bitcoin. It's too dangerous. If you're our customer, we don't want you to be at risk. We're turning off Bitcoin.
Well, it's not the customers who are at risk. It's the vendors.
But all of them are at risk. But yes, everybody's at risk if you're using Bitcoin for buying the darknet. Anyway, blockchain analysis company Chainalysis, for instance, found that in the first 4 months of 2019, just 1.3% of total Bitcoin transactions involved merchants. And that trend has only accelerated as the value of Bitcoin has soared, strikingly.
So how do they know if you spent some Bitcoin at Bork's Fest 3 years ago? If you bought hot dogs or if you bought drugs or if... You know,
they can only identify addresses. So
right.
If they know which, you know, whatever companies have Bitcoin out there. So I don't know if Newegg still takes it. I know they did it one time or other companies. Somehow those addresses have been made public, I presume. And so therefore they can analyze those. But yeah, so they can only give you a bare minimum of what's going on.
Yeah, and even that, I mean, you may have published one of your Bitcoin addresses, but if you're using a modern wallet,
it
generates a new one for each transaction.
Strikingly, despite the speculative fervor that has surrounded Bitcoin, the total number of transactions has risen only mildly over the past 2 years. And that number is so small relative to the total number of electronic bank and credit card transactions as to be barely worth mentioning. On average, there are now around 325,000 Bitcoin transactions, including trades, per day. There are roughly a billion credit card transactions per day.
How many cryptocurrency transactions are there per day, all told?
I
doubt anybody's doing the math.
That's a good question.
But it would be interesting to look at what CoinMarketCap, for example, had to say about the top 300.
Yeah, well, speaking of CoinMarketCap and sites like it, CoinGecko is another one. The total global market cap, at least, of all the cryptocurrencies that they identify, which currently is over 8,000 of them, is over $1 trillion.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Remember when it was nothing?
No, I don't remember that, but yeah.
You don't remember?
I wasn't around in 2009 with Bitcoin. I didn't know anything about it.
Well, you were around in 2009. But you remember when it was nothing. I just didn't know about it.
I don't know if that means I remember it. Anyway, 603-283-6160 is our number if you want to join us here. More about what he says is the failure of Bitcoin. The Bitcoin dream is dead. But is it? If you want to weigh in, you can join us here.
I'm not quite dead.
603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
July 25th, we adopted April. She's a purebred orange and white Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dynavite. DINOVITE.com. I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dynavite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine. April gets Dynavite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition. She even walks like a little princess.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
On Dynavite, she's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President-elect Joe Biden has laid out his plan to combat the coronavirus pandemic and provide Americans with economic relief. His $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan includes about $400 billion to combat the virus, including $20 billion in additional funds for vaccinations, on top of the $8 billion already approved by Congress in the last relief package. Biden's plan also includes $1,400 checks for most Americans, a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures until September, and a boost for unemployment benefits. He said that even those who've been able to keep their jobs during the pandemic would benefit from a relief payment.
Maybe you've lost hours, or maybe you're doing fewer shifts, driving a truck or caring for the kids or the elderly. You're out there putting your life on the line to work during this pandemic and worried every week that you get sick, lose your job, or worse. $2,000 is going to go a long way to ease that pain.
This is USA Radio News. The FBI says they've made more than 100 arrests related to last week's riot at the Capitol building, with multiple arrests made on Thursday. The Department of Justice has launched a web page listing every person that was charged with crimes related to the riot. At a security briefing ahead of next week's inauguration, FBI Director Christopher Wray said they were monitoring online chatter from individuals who may want a repeat of last week's violence at the swearing-in ceremony. Vice President Mike Pence led that briefing Thursday in Washington, saying that the administration was committed to ensuring a peaceful transition of power.
Our aim here, the American people can be confident, is that we're going to ensure that we have a safe inauguration, that President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, are sworn in as the new President and Vice President of the United States in a manner consistent with our history, with our traditions, in a way that gives honor to the American people and to the United States.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. Our number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Bitcoin. Once again, the hit piece is coming out. As soon as it dips down in price, the hit pieces come out. They call it a bear market, and Bitcoin is doomed.
Yeah, they started reporting a bear market the day it pulled back.
Yep.
And I'm like, my God, they must have really good crystal balls. But then, of course, when it went back up, they realized that, no, they've got really bad balls.
AnyPay 2.0 is here, and cryptocurrency payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com's wallet, or Dash Wallet, your experience will be smooth. But some wallets, sadly, they're not ready for this impressive new technology. Those other wallets, they need to hear from you. If you're one of them, if you're one of their users, if you use Coinomi or Exodus Wallet, which are great wallets, but they just don't have this feature, and they need to. Also, RelayX, Bread Wallet. The contact information for those wallets is at anypayinc.com/upgrade. You can reach out. If you're one of those users, reach out to those wallets, reach out to the programmers, and let them know you want them to be able to be made to be useful for payments with AnyPay. Anypayinc.com/upgrade. You can learn more about why some wallets work and others don't, and what you can do about it as a participant in the marketplace. Your voice matters, but you've got to be heard. You've got to let those people know what you want. And AnyPay will help connect you to them. AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. As we go to, let's see here, back to the story from marker.medium.com. The author here saying, Bitcoin isn't what it was originally advertised as. And he's right so far about that. He's right that the Bitcoin programmers are no longer marketing it as a version of electronic cash, but instead calling it a store of value. And that seems to be all they want for it. Mm-hmm. They don't want it to be useful to actually transact business, to buy and sell things. And going on here with his analysis.
But then how is it a store of value? I'm sorry, I keep coming back to that. It's not a store of value if it's not being used.
Well, it is being used. It's just that it's not being marketed for that. It's no longer being told, you know, pointed out to people, hey, this is a currency. And it wouldn't be useful for small purchases because they've crippled the currency. They've crippled the features on Bitcoin. And arguably, they've purposefully done this because they certainly know how to fix it. And they haven't fixed it, which is the reason why Bitcoin Cash came out in 2017 in the first place. Is because of that disagreement where the programmers couldn't agree on how to move forward with expanding Bitcoin's network capacity. And they, because they couldn't agree, one team said, well, we're just going to do it on our own, and we're going off in this direction. And the other team said, all right, well, we're just going to do nothing. And the team that went off in the other direction to scaling and to increasing the block size, like we talked about, is called Bitcoin Cash. Yep. And today they're like the number six or seven largest cryptocurrency on the planet by market cap. Nice. So, oh, and by the way, Kim.com is now backing Bitcoin Cash. Do you know who Kim.com is?
No.
He's the guy who's behind or was behind the site MegaUpload.com back in the day. It was a site people used for file sharing. They would like upload things to their MegaUpload, and then they give a download link to their friends. So you could use it for legal purposes, but some people were storing things like CDs or DVD videos on there that weren't entirely legal to do that, and so the federal government.
Nobody ever did that on YouTube.
Yeah, and YouTube hasn't been prosecuted for it, but
it won't be. They are ripped.
Right, but they went after the Mega Upload founder, and his name is—he literally changed his name to Kim.com. That's actually his first name, Kimdotcom. That's his name, Kim.com. And I don't know what his last name is.
Okay.
But anyway, he's now backing Bitcoin Cash as like the next big thing for transactional cryptocurrencies. So there's definitely some movers
he's
and shakers.
Getting on the nobody train. I've been saying that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I've got that story too. I don't know if we're going to have a chance to get to it here. But let me continue with the critic here. He says, some of the failure of Bitcoin to live up to its promise as a currency has to do with practical problems with the way it works. Most obviously the fact that its design makes it very slow at processing transactions. For instance, Visa processes approximately 6,000 transactions a second and has the capacity to do many times that. Bitcoin can do 7. So Bitcoin transactions often take a long time to complete, which doesn't work so well if you're trying to use Bitcoin at the local convenience store or even buying something online. Bitcoin's transaction fees have also at different points been shockingly high. During the last Bitcoin boom in 2017, the fees reached as high as $55 per transaction. And while they've come down sharply since then, as recently as last May, it cost more than $6 to buy something with Bitcoin. Just the other day, I sent some Bitcoin to the Bitcoin vending machine here in town, and it cost $10.
What did it cost you to send Bitcoin Cash?
I did not send Bitcoin Cash, but if I had sent Bitcoin Cash, it probably would have been less than a cent or 2 cents.
Groovy.
Unfortunately, people aren't asking for Bitcoin Cash.
That's what I was getting ready to ask. Is it popular?
No, it's not.
That's the amazing thing, and it seems like the undeserved valuation of Bitcoin is what keeps people away from the other cryptos. You know?
Well, I think the media hypes up Bitcoin, and so that's what people know.
And
media as well.
When I talk about Bitcoin at home, I say, oh, crypto, and Michael says, you mean Bitcoin? I'm like, yes, that's what I mean.
See, I think you're right, and Michael needs to think again, because the crypto market is healthy as hell, but the market in Bitcoin legacy, not so much.
Well, I'm referring to Bitcoin when I say crypto, because that's where my mind goes immediately. Anything else, I actually say the name of it.
Oh, okay. Mm. So using Bitcoin interchangeably with crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Kleenex.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not a problem, he says, if you're making an investment. He's talking about the big fees. But it's a big obstacle if you want to buy a pizza. The more fundamental problem for Bitcoin as a currency, though, has to do with the very thing lots of people like about it, namely that the supply is controlled and limited. Because the supply is limited, when the demand for Bitcoin rises, then the value of Bitcoin is going to rise as well. And that's basic economics,
right? Who wants a currency whose value rises when they can have a currency whose value falls.
He says, so if you believe your Bitcoin is going to become more popular, then it's foolish to spend it on a pizza. You should hoard it and then sell it once its price rises. And since you can get along perfectly well without spending Bitcoin, there's never been anything pushing people to stop hoarding. And he's absolutely right about this point.
What pushed me to stop hoarding is I yeeted all of my dollars, mm-hmm. and I have nothing but cryptocurrency, and then I have to spend cryptocurrency.
And you happen to live in a town where you can easily do that, so
that helps.
That helps a lot. as he points out, though, the more people hoard Bitcoin, treating it as a speculative asset, the less appealing it seems as a currency. On top of this, the extraordinary volatility of Bitcoin's price, which, as we've seen in the last week, can fall 10 to 20% overnight, and it can go up 10 to 20% mm-hmm. overnight as well.
When's the last time your dollars did that?
Never. Discourages businesses and individuals from accepting Bitcoin in exchange for real goods and services, since few people want to get paid today with something that might be 10% less valuable tomorrow. And he does admit here, finally, in parentheses, that of course it might also be 10% more valuable, but that kind of gamble isn't one most businesses are interested in making. And again, he's correct about this here. See, these two things that he's pointing out are very human objections to using Bitcoin as a currency. And these are two of the things that we as cryptocurrency advocates have to help people get over. And there are different ways that we can do that by showing them tools that allow them to relatively quickly cash out their mm-hmm. crypto if that's what they want to do. You even offer a feature, nobody, that you've offered to local business owners, like the guy that runs the Indian restaurant here in town. You've purchased, I believe you've offered to purchase from him and have actually purchased from him some of the cryptocurrency that he's received from customers, and you've done it as a service. You've even paid him, I believe,
sure, I paid
above
him three,
spot.
I've been known to pay 3% over spot. There are times when I've paid 5% over spot to get crypto. It all depends on what the market is doing.
Now, that's a nice feature, but it really doesn't matter if the price of Bitcoin goes up 10% in 10 minutes, which could happen mm-hmm. and has happened, then, you know, or if it goes down 10% in 10 minutes, then your 3% gets wiped out and you wouldn't even have been in the car yet by that point to get over there. So right. The thing you really need to point out to these business owners is that at this point in time, you're not going to get all your customers paying with cryptocurrency. You'd be lucky if you had 1% of them paying in crypto. It's probably less than 0.5%. That'll pay in cryptocurrency. So you're not exactly risking your business,
yeah.
you know, to accept this stuff.
Take what you can get. It's a little bit.
And hold on to it.
Great.
Right.
If it
right.
doesn't go up, it's a little bit.
Right. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Free Talk Live. Maybe enough time for you if you want to join us. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're sharing a Bitcoin hit piece here by James Turecki over at marker.medium.com.
I have to call this a Bitcoin miss piece.
Well, he's right about some things. That's the thing.
He is. If you completely ignore the other cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Then he's kind of right. But,
yeah. Well, what he's right about is he's right about human nature, at least. He's right that people, when faced with Bitcoin and not knowing about the other cryptocurrencies, when faced with Bitcoin and the question of, do I want to spend this as a currency, as soon as they learn what the fees are, they're going to be like, nope.
Nope.
And then if they stop there, they're never going to know about the other cryptos. And that's when, hopefully, when people learn about how bad the Bitcoin fees are, they'll ask about, well, what can I do about this? And then maybe somebody will say, hey, have you tried Bitcoin Cash, or have you tried Dash, or have you tried Monero?
So let me give you a mathematical thought. If you're out there thinking about cryptocurrencies, there's one thing that you can spend them on directly, and that's cryptocurrency fees. Okay. And so basically, if Bitcoin is at $40,000 and a fee is $40 for your average transaction, well, let's say $20, because that's more reasonable, then basically one Bitcoin will do, what, 1,000 or 2,000 transactions, you know? Whereas if you spend $500 on a Bitcoin Cash, it will do many, many more transactions than that.
At 1 cent worth per piece or less.
At a penny's worth per piece. That'll do what? You know, 50,000 transactions?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something
a lot.
Like that. So, if it's, if you think about it that way, it becomes a no-brainer. You know, it's better to buy 50,000 transactions than to buy 1,000 transactions at the same price.
Right, but people don't know about that yet, and unfortunately stories like this don't help illuminate those options, and that's sort of our job, to give you the clue of, hey, yeah, you might want to check these other things out. Bitcoin has competition, and one of these days, one of these competitors may actually knock it out of its top slot.
Will.
Indeed.
Unless, yeah. Unless they fix Bitcoin, they will be knocked out of the top position.
So his next point here is that business owners are less likely to start taking cryptocurrency if they think that the price can go all over the place. And that is absolutely mm-hmm. true. It is absolutely the main, one of the main objections that you'll get from a business owner. If you try to go around and pitch crypto mm-hmm. like we do sometimes to local business owners, the concern is very real that, hey, I know this can go up in value, but it can also go down, and I got to pay my employees. I got to pay for my products. Mm-hmm. But the answer there is that, look, Bitcoin's so new, hardly anyone's actually using it for crypto or for doing currency transactions, the buying things, mm-hmm. that you're barely going to have anyone buying anything with this over time. But there's enough customers, hopefully, to make it so you'll want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be overwhelming to where you're constantly every single day having to exchange, you know, Bitcoin for dollars so you can pay your vendors and things like that.
I don't think that's the right answer. I think the right answer to that is, well, I'll tell you what. I need Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
and I have a hard time getting a hold of as much Bitcoin as I want. So if you're taking Bitcoin and you don't want to keep it, I'll set up to watch your address, and every day I will come by and buy all of your Bitcoin okay. for cash.
That's pretty good, but it's still only once a day when the price of Bitcoin can rise or fall dramatically in 10
minutes. Yeah, but the first time that it goes up a lot, they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
Well, that's
$200.
Right.
You know,
they are
going to give me $1,000 for this $200 transaction.
Exactly.
And they're going to be happy about it.
Yes,
so if it goes up and down, they're going to think about that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I just have to be very careful to show them the price that I'm buying it
mm-hmm.
at. And
mm-hmm.
if that price keeps going up,
then they're
going to
be like, stop coming in.
Oh, my
exactly.
God. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
which is a
days.
Problem for me because, you know, I lose my source of crypto.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a boon for me because the more people are holding crypto.
No, I don't disagree with you, nobody. I think that both of those points is important
yeah.
to give them the ability to get out of it if they want to.
Yeah.
And to let them know that, look, this isn't going to make you or break you. Either way, if you hold on to it, it's probably better to hold on to it. In fact, most of the local business owners do hold on to it. There's really only one or two that actually ever turns their Bitcoin into anything else.
And they only do it because they're hurting.
That's right.
I hate to take it from them, but at the same time, they need the cash.
Let me go on here. He says, Bitcoin's transformation from putative currency to speculative asset, in other words, was effectively built into the system from the start. It's where Bitcoin was headed all along. Except that's not true. Satoshi Nakamoto actually didn't put a block limit in at the start, from what I understand. He mm-hmm. added it later on, did he not?
I don't know.
I believe
even
he did.
Even if it was there from the start, you know, a lot of times you build your experimental software with limits in it
mm-hmm.
and know that once we see how this thing performs,
you raise
can take
the limit.
These limits out.
Right.
And once there's call for it.
But he left at, I think it was like 2011, he disappeared, or she, or whoever it is. So he goes on here to say, cryptocurrencies have emerged. Okay, he admits, cryptocurrencies have emerged in Bitcoin's wake that are better designed to function as currencies. But paradoxically, they're nowhere near as popular as Bitcoin. So that's in parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may have been designed as a payment system and a medium of exchange, Bitcoin's real appeal was inevitably going to be what economists call a store of value, a kind of digital analog to gold. Like gold, Bitcoin is valuable to the extent that people think it's valuable. You buy it because you think someone else will pay more for it in the future. And now that's not true. Okay, so that's like the common claim about Bitcoin. But the reason why gold is valuable isn't because people think it's valuable. It's because it's useful. Because you can put gold into products. You make things like PC boards for computers and jewelry and all kinds of other things that people think are useful and pretty and wonderful, and they're willing to pay for those things. Gold,
so what do you make out of Bitcoin?
You make a valuable transaction network. The value of Bitcoin, is its ability to transact, is its ability to send money securely across the entire world for what was originally a low price and still is with things like Bitcoin Cash and Dash. That's the value.
And that's what we got to teach the Bitcoin maximists to get them off that train.
And he says, like gold, its value can't be inflated away by a central bank. And that's valuable as well when you know that the government isn't in charge of it.
Yep.
The fact that Bitcoin has no intrinsic value doesn't mean it's headed to zero. It just means that Bitcoin has become totally untethered from its original purpose. What was supposed to be a way to revolutionize people's everyday financial lives is now mostly a way for people to get rich quick or lose their shirts, or in an ideal scenario, for people to protect their wealth against inflation. Bitcoin began as a cryptocurrency, but it has ended as a crypto asset.
Okay, well, I take back the bad things I said about this guy, and I'll replace him with one bad thing, which is he made an article about why you should be in other cryptocurrencies instead of Bitcoin Legacy, and he buried the lead.
Without explaining what other cryptocurrencies there were.
Until the end of the story,
he didn't
give the lead.
And even then, it was only in parentheses with no link.
Yes.
So if you wanted to, you couldn't like click on it and see what he was talking about.
So where you should go, let's give them the missing link.
Yep.
The missing link is Bitcoin.com,
where they sell
Bitcoin Cash, the real Bitcoin. And that's what you're looking for, or whatever other cryptocurrency you may want.
David is on the line here with a quick court update from New Mexico. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, as for that here, 123, as for that hearing tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning that you can attend via telephone if you want to. It's likely to be uneventful, but it's actually what has transpired is because of the annoying things that I do to them in the courtroom, like object to things. The reason that the hearing tomorrow will be rescheduled is because I objected on the record that my attorney was not properly attending to my case and asked the judge to reprimand her, and he did so, and she's now actually doing her job where she wasn't before, but she's so far behind that she can't even have the pretrial conference tomorrow. She has to ask for a continuance, and so that's what will be transpiring. But it's all because I was an ass in the courtroom, and I'm getting what I demanded.
Well, watch her, because she may be mad at you, okay? So watch her for sandbagging you, for giving the other side an opportunity to get you by making the wrong argument. And if she does that, go after her for ineffective counsel, and you can get that thing reversed.
Out of
and
time.
She's already been reprimanded, so that makes it easier.
For tonight. And check out Nobody at electnobody.com.
Yeehaw!
And we'll see you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, over at freetalklive.com. If you want to know the latest about Free Talk Live before we go on the air, all you need to decide is how you want it delivered. It's your choice. Visit news.freetalklive.com to receive our usually weekly news updates by email. Plus, we have a Twitter account at twitter.freetalklive.com, and you can follow us on the decentralized Mastodon platform at toot.freetalklive.com. So please follow us at toot.freetalklive.com and sign up for our emails at news.freetalklive.com.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need, a WordPress using WooCommerce, and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin, start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
It did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.